Well, that was a waker-upper, and we're going to start now with the Bible study. When we read about gifts and signs in the Bible, we often concentrate on gifts in the church, in the body of Christ, and sometimes people say to us, you're in sin if you don't speak in tongues. But there's much more to it than that. So let's get into it and see what the Bible actually does say. There were at least five different categories of signs in the Bible. And when people don't realize and take that fact into account, they make assumptions and statements, suppositions that might not be true about, you know, they're seeing in the Bible about one sign, but it might not follow true for other types of signs. And they go ahead and try to apply it and make a mistake in doing so. So God gave signs, first off, to make Israel able to believe him, to ease their trust in him. And God gave that reason in Exodus chapter 19, verse 3. Moses went up unto God, and I assume that means on the mountain, up the mountains, Mount Sinai. And the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, verse 4, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Well, it's like God was saying, you saw what I did for you. Now, because of that, believe me enough to obey me now. Well, first of all, we can see the first type of signs from God, shown by God through the hands of Moses. And you see that in Exodus 4. Let's look there. Exodus 4, starting in verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say that the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. Verse 4, and the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That, and going on to verse 5, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. That they may believe, it says. Verse 6, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. Verse 8, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the second. Excuse me. That they will, I'm ad-libbing there, I guess, I don't know. Starting verse 8 again, and it shall come to pass that if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. Verse 9, and it shall come to pass if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take water out of the river and pour it upon... Let me get it right here. The thing is shifting on me. It shall come to pass that if they will not believe these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it on the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses asked God for a sign. Moses asked God for a sign, but God gave him three signs to start with. And then, as if that was not enough mercy to show, see what God did later in the same chapter in Exodus 4. Look down at verse 30. And Aaron spoke for Moses. Moses could have been the speaker, but he felt unable. So his brother Aaron took over, and Moses received from the Lord, and Aaron spoke to the people. So verse 30 starts off, and Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. There it is. It enabled them to believe. Verse 31, and the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. Before the time when God put all his promises in writing, in the book, he proved with signs what he said in order to give the people reason to believe him. That's the reason for the first type of signs, that they may believe. And that was the first type of signs, the signs so that Israel may believe. Let's go on to the second of the five types. A little later in Scripture, at the beginning of the New Testament, God showed the second type of signs through the hands of Israel's believing remnant, the believing remnant, sometimes called the little flock. They were signs to Israel at large as confirming signs. They're called confirming signs to confirm what God had told them and taught them, and that God is over there. He's with the little flock, Israel's prophetic remnant, and that is where God's signs have gone. So let's look at the confirming signs starting in Mark 16. We'll start in verse 17. Mark 16:17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Now those are still two of the things that they were to look for to recognize the Messiah when he came. But they missed him. Going on to verse 18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. There's another one. Verse 19, so then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. If we look, still in the second type of sign, let's look in Acts 2:22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by signs and wonders, by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know. So there it's called approving signs, approving miracles and wonders and signs, approved by God. Look in Hebrews. Hebrews is to the Hebrews, not to the Gentiles. How shall we, this is chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So in the recording of God's operations, God did not leave the validating of the message to man's truthfulness or to man's impressions, man's imaginations of God telling him things. The reason for this is the reason for the second type of sign was John 4:48. Jesus said unto them, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And that was true. They were wired to respond to signs, to the physical, seeing things physical. We walk by faith, not by sight. They're different. We're not Israel. God confirmed the events and the teachings with signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts so that the scriptures would be preserved pure. That brings us to the third type of sign. That second type was confirming signs. So the third type, and as we go a little further in God's record of the changes in his workings with man, Paul's epistles, in them, after the body of Christ began in Acts 9, we see that God showed a third type of sign. And here we see that Christ gave signs to the body of Christ for Israel. They had no use after, you know, when it got to the body of Christ, there was no use other than for Israel. The reason for this third type of sign, let's see 1 Corinthians 1:22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. During Israel's diminishing, whenever you see the body of Christ in close proximity to the Jewish synagogue, you begin to see the third type of signs in the body of Christ for the benefit of the nearby disbelieving Jews. And you can see that's at least two qualifications already, conditions that have to be met. Had to be met, I should say. Let's look at those body of Christ signs given during Israel's diminishing. What Paul said would be a diminishing. It was called a work in the Old Testament. There's another name I can't think of right now, but let's go on. 1 Corinthians 14:21 and 22, starting in 21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Verse 20, well, that shows that the tongues was not just sounds or I've heard it called gibberish or whatever. It's not meaningless. It's speaking. Now, it was not understandable to ones that didn't understand the language that it came out as. It was an unlearned language. They didn't know the language they were speaking, but the people that were listening were to know it. Who was it for? We saw it was for Jews, and it was for disbelieving Jews. Disbelieving people that were Jews. Those were the two qualifications. So going on to verse 22 in 1 Corinthians 14. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. In other words, disbelievers, lost people. And we saw before that the Jews require a sign, so it's lost Jews that it was for. It's Jewish evangelism. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying, or professing God's word, serveth not for them that believe not, but prophesying serveth for them which believe. So there's two types of people, at least two types, in the those that had to come out of the synagogue for believing that Jesus was the risen Messiah, and they met in Paul's meetings, two types of people. There was a little, Paul had to pray that they endeavor to keep the unity of the unity in this, I forget the wording. I should look it up. Let me look it up if I'm going to start it. Ephesians 3:4-3. There we go. Post that. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In other words, we're going to be bound by peace, so we better get along. We need to keep the unity. There is unity. Keep it. Don't disrupt it by the confluence of the different types of people into the one group. Speaking in tongues, it was Jewish evangelism at the time, before Israel was totally diminished, when they had finished their diminishing. It was speaking the wonderful works of God. It wasn't just some new revelation, not anymore. Now, when Paul wrote, the prophets would also have knowledge of the revelations that Christ made to Paul, and they would say, this is scripture, this is not. You know, they had the right and the ministry, actually, to acknowledge that what Paul said were the commands of God. So, Acts 2:11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. That's what the tongues was. It conveyed the wonderful works of God. So this third type of signs were vindication that God had been merciful to Israel, much more merciful than they deserved, much more merciful than you and I have, you know. If we'd been in Israel or with Israel, we would have made the same choices. We're people like they are, and we have more hindsight now, more information to look back on. But that's the third type of signs. The body of Christ signs to diminishing, nearby, disbelieving Israel. Okay, the fourth type of sign, Brother Obed Kirkpatrick was mentioning it just earlier. The fourth type of signs that God showed were signs of an apostle. And let's look at the verses. There's one verse in particular that shows there were signs of an apostle. 2 Corinthians 12:12. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Signs of an apostle don't particularly have to do with the body of Christ. They don't particularly have to do with Israel. The signs of an apostle were to prove that God was speaking through that person. He had sent out that person, that apostle whom He had sent was authentic. So that's the fourth type of signs, the signs of an apostle. And you see Paul doing some of the signs that you wouldn't expect to see him do, because Israel had fallen already. And if signs are for Israel, why is Paul doing another sign? Israel had fallen. Israel had been diminishing. In fact, Paul does one or two more signs, or three maybe, after the temple vision, when he's sent to all people and Israel is shut down. So, you know, the reason being that they're not signs for Israel. They're signs of an apostle to prove Paul's apostleship and the authenticness of his revelations, the revelations of Christ to him. That leaves us with the fifth type of signs. And it's seen in Exodus through Revelation, most of the Bible. It's one of the most thoroughly documented signs, type of signs in the Bible. The fifth type sign is signs and lying wonders and miracles after the working of Satan with all power. I don't see anything in Scripture that restricts the power of the God of this world to the time of the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. I think those signs and wonders, lying wonders, that are the working of Satan, are at work today, especially with people promoting those and being enamored by those Westcott and Hort translations of the corrupted Word of God. What Paul had it back then, there was people corrupting the Word of God and handing it down to others to make a profit. He called it the corrupted Word of God that Paul, he condemned as early as the writing of 2 Corinthians 2:17. For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. He's not just talking about twisting the terms, twisting the words, changing a word here. He's talking about taking the manuscript and corrupting the very Word of God, which is what happened. And what people are reading, if they're reading from the Alexandrian text promoted in almost all of these new translations. Stick to the King James. It's accurate, it's pure, and it's preserved in its pure state. And God promised to do it in a version, in not necessarily the King James, but when you go through and you look for the missing verses and you look for the self-contradictions in all of the different English translations, the only one that doesn't have any self-contradictions or errors is the King James. So that proves itself. Let's take a look at some of the many references to lying, deceiving signs and wonders throughout the Scripture in operation today. Start in Exodus chapter 7, verse 11, and we'll jump hither in chapter 7, verse 11, then verse 22, and then we'll go up to 8, verse 7, Exodus 8, verse 7. So starting in 7:11. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. So they copied Moses' plagues, actually hurting the Egyptians even more. Exodus 7:22, and the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. They did it again, copied Moses' plague. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. Exodus 8, verse 7, and the magicians did with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Hurting themselves again. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. And if we go to the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 13, verse 11, thank you. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Verse 12, and we're going to go through at least 15 here. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first whose deadly wound was healed. And he goeth, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. There's a lot of rogue power in these verses here. Power unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the beast, would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14. Dual purpose verses here, but let's read through them. 14 through verse 19. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Verse 15, and many among them shall stumble and fall. And this is a history here. It's a chronology of what's going to happen. Actually, it was a preview in Isaiah's time. Verse 15, many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Verse 16, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. That would be the little flock at that point. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Pardon me. Excuse me just a minute. And I will wait for the Lord, hideth his face. Okay, verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. It says they are for signs and for wonders. And verse 18, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? I'll let it stand as it's read, as it says. Let's go to Ephesians 10. We're just about done here. We'll probably close with these verses from 10 through 18 about the sword of the Spirit, the armor. Put on the whole armor of God. Starting in 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's today, the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's what we're doing now, isn't it? Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So we've gone through these five signs of the Bible, and when people study the signs without accounting for the various types of signs, there's the danger of lumping together all the signs as if they were the same. And if you take the characteristics of any one type of signs and try to apply it to any other type of sign, you're making assumptions and errors by ignoring their differences. That does not work. The five or more different types of signs have different characteristics and different purposes. It's amazing how many people think they have studied tongues when all they've done is grab one or two occurrences that they find in part of their, you know, part of the history of changes recorded in the Bible, the different dispensings of God, and then they extrapolate that to be for all people to practice at all times, regardless of the conditions for which those tongues were confined. I guess it might be considered that I'm going beyond the scriptural admonition, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. But maybe this will be the time when one of them will stop ignoring God's word and start honestly and thoroughly, rightly dividing it, studying it to be approved of God as a workman, not ashamed. Always take notice of who is being addressed in each verse of the Bible. Always identify to whom each pronoun is referring. And you are not every you that's written in the Bible. It's written to other people, and it's not necessarily applicable to your people group. Okay, that finishes the five types of signs in the Bible. Time for questions. If somebody's eager to ask a question, go ahead.